At the top of our program here on Friday, we turn to the unfolding events on the south side of Lansing. Last Tuesday, the Ingham County Health Department notified residents of the Life O'Reilly Mobile Home Park and Campground that they had 10 days to find another place to live. A failing sewage disposal system and other issues have created an urgent health hazard. This evening at 5 is the deadline for all 85 households in the park to be vacated, with just 10 days to relocate hundreds of residents, some who've been there for decades and many who are living on limited resources. It's been especially difficult for local nonprofits and city and county and state officials who have rallied to help resolve the crisis. With us by phone to tell us more about how the effort is going is Dr. Joan Jackson Johnson, the director of the City of Lansing's Human Relations and Community Services Department. Welcome back, as always, Joan.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning, and we also welcome Elizabeth Rios, who is an attorney, a supervising attorney for Legal Services of South Central Michigan. She's playing an important role in this as well. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, good morning.
Joan, what is the current situation? How many people are still at the mobile home park?
We estimate that there are approximately 30 to 35 households who have not vacated the premises. Our goal is this morning to place 10 to 15 in public housing. I heard you say earlier that one of the challenges was, you know, financial issues for a lot of the families in finding safe, and I underline safe, affordable housing. So we've been able to do that with about 37 units through public housing and through the generosity of a number of other landlords in the area. Some individuals have chosen to move to other trailer parks, which we have not supported. We have assisted in with boxes and other things, but we have concerns because of regulatory issues with the trailer parks and some of the challenges that our residents have currently faced in O'Reilly Trailer Park.
So you fear that they're leaving one undesirable situation for another situation that is potentially undesirable as well?
Certainly that's possible, again, given the lack of control or the ability of city code compliance or other entities to enter into and regulate challenges that citizens face.
There are 85 units, Joan. About how many individuals are we talking about who are affected by this?
Well, 85 units, seven of those are homeowners, which live in the campground year-round, which is illegal, I'm told. Then the other 78, I would say about 20 of those have been single individuals. There are a lot of families, but in some of the units, multiple singles may be occupying the same unit. One of the challenges that we face is the fact that, you know, we have a lot of people in need in our community. And some, you know, certainly want to take advantage of this opportunity by saying, I've lived here for this long. And if they can't prove, and we can't prove through bills or some local agencies, we cannot accommodate those citizens. We'll make other referrals, but we can't have them piggybacking on a bad situation that we're trying to resolve as quickly as possible.
Mm. And can you update us, remind our listeners of the park's conditions? What has gone wrong? How bad is it?
Well, the park's condition, and I can't speak for the health department because they issued the condemnation order, but I can say through visual inspection from a vehicle because of the smells, it was pretty horrific. I can also say through looking at pictures provided by the health department, I mean, it was one of the most unbelievable situations that I've seen in a long time, and at the age of 65, I've been around the block and back several times. My concern is that, you know, as citizens, as public, private, you know, for-profit, non-profit organizations that have had contact with any of the individuals living there, that I'm not sure how they've managed to sleep, some of them, by not trying to identify other outlets or other living environments for our brothers and sisters. I mean, we have a responsibility, I think, and I believe, to take care of our neighbors. And if we see something, and I encourage citizens who are listening, if you see something that doesn't look right, doesn't smell right, it probably isn't right, call, you know, the city, call, you know, someone to try to get it, it investigated. And for our seniors living in environments that have felt trapped, you know, to me, We stripped people at O'Reilly of their dignity and their respect. They lost hope. They couldn't see a light at the end of the tunnel, so they settled for the only thing they thought was available to them. And shame on us.
I want to talk to Elizabeth Rios here. Elizabeth, you're supervising attorney for Legal Services of South Central Michigan. Tell us what your organization is doing.
Well, we've been part of a larger group of community partners that have kind of come together, collaborated to, you know, try to do something for these tenants because, like Joan said, I mean, you know, this is something that we need to be concerned about, our brothers and sisters living in these types of conditions, and what can we do about it? So we have been available to answer any legal questions that tenants might have. I mean, this is a very, you know, difficult time. I mean, yes, it was atrocious conditions, but the people are still, you know, having to move, and it's a very emotional for them. So we are answering questions. What does a condemnation mean? What do I have to do? Do I have to be out in 10 days? How do I get another place? What are my legal claims that I could have against a landlord, you know, because I'm forced to move out? So we've been one of many community partners that have been there for, you know, three separate days. We just had groups come for an event that made resources available, DHS, CACS, the VOA, Lansing Housing Commission, MISHTA, where, you know, the community really was coming together to make themselves available to help relocate and answer questions for these tenants.
Have you begun thinking about legal options on behalf of the residents?
Absolutely. And I think that there's, you know, various claims available to the tenant based on their specific situation. I mean, we made ourselves available. If the tenants wanted to come talk to us, we met with each and every one. We've also received phone calls in our intake line from tenants that are going through this situation with questions. And the claims, there will be some similar claims. There might be some different claims. I mean, there's claims for people that believed that they had bought the trailer and had title to it or a right to title. There might be rescission claims in those cases. I believe there's constructive eviction cases for all the tenants. I believe there's, you know, cases regarding negligence, breach of contract. So we're assessing.
Do you think
them.
Every resident has some kind of legal option here?
Yes, I believe that every resident would at least have a constructive eviction claim. And the amount of damages that each tenant has incurred as a result of being forced to move is going to be different. So that's where the difference in claims will arise. But I do think that each tenant would have a constructive eviction claim.
And Elizabeth, I understand your Battle Creek office has been dealing with another trailer park with the same owner. This is Steve Ramirez.
Yes.
I know you haven't been directly involved in that situation, but can you give us any kind of sense of whether there are consistencies between that situation and this one here in Lansing?
Well, my knowledge is mostly, you know, about obviously the Life O'Reilly in Lansing, but I can say that there are certainly consistencies in sort of the failures on the part of Steve Ramirez, on the part of, you know, Wayland Holdings in the way that they've operated our park in Lansing and the park in Battle Creek. So the failures to provide a habitable and fit environment for their tenants, the failure to provide a safe environment for their tenants, the failure to, you know, follow the laws that have been imposed upon them, the failure to repair, all of those things, yes, are absolutely the same in Battle Creek.
Are you in touch with him? Is he AWOL? Where is he in this?
I can't answer that. You'd have to contact his attorney for those questions.
Joan, do you know?
I don't.
Okay. How did we get here, Joan? How did it get to the point where these folks only received 10 days notice to leave? And how was this not spotted earlier by some sort of government inspection or oversight?
To my knowledge, and I'm not directly involved with that aspect of it, but in working with the health department, my understanding is that citizens who reside at the trailer park have made over a period of time complaints to the health department. And there has been ongoing investigation, and the documents that I've seen appear to say that the trailer park owners would provide repairs to ABCD, and, you know, extensions were granted and a number of other things. And then, you know, a couple weeks ago, I mean, when you have contamination, you know, based on health department statement, to the level that they have there, it's certainly not safe for anyone, you know, to be there. Some units are worse than others, but the entire ground with the sewer condition, raw sewer that's out, I mean, it's not safe. I don't know how any of us could allow, you know, people to continue to live there. You know, people are upset, as Elizabeth mentioned, And an emotional attachment. In the paper this morning, there's a senior that I've talked with, and he's not been very kind to me. And I understand his anger, but I hope that people recognize in the end that the city had no obligation to step in. But our mayor said this, you know, will happen. You know, Lansing has to be a safe, habitable place for all of our citizens, not just some. So, you know, we're pulling together resources. We've worked with a lot of community partners. We pulled together 4 meetings at Crystal Ray Church and invited people in. And some, you know, I mean, we've gotten a lot of thank yous from people who've been able to move out. We have people who are attached to animals that no one's going to allow pit bulls into their, you know, places. You know, people with 30 cats, another lady with 11 cats. And when you've had animals, there are a lot of wild cats out there, too. But I really have to sing high praises to the Ingham County Animal Control and the Lansing Animal Shelter for coming out and working with people and providing temporary housing for some of the animals. A man with a snake, you know, out there.
What if folks don't leave, Joan?
Well, if folks don't leave because of the conditions there, my understanding that a formal process of escorting them from the property will occur, and I'm not sure if that will be with the Ingham County Sheriff Department or with Lansing Police. We have, I would have to say, a place for everyone to go. Is it a home? Absolutely not at this point. We're not putting any of the residents in shelters. We are motelling individuals until we can move them to that next step. And again, we have probably, today, by the end of the day, we're hopeful that we'll be able to place at least 30 individuals or assist them in moving into different units. And that's a huge success given the market. But it's was a bigger challenge trying to make the financial connections, because we don't want to set people up for failure down the road, and we will follow individuals that we've assisted for 90 days to make sure that there are no problems resulting from, you know, the housing or additional challenges with some landlord. So, you know, again, we are still looking for furniture, and citizens who have gently used furniture can call St. Vincent's de Paul in Lansing, and they will assist. They also are accepting donations on behalf of the residents of Life of Raleigh.
And what's at the top of your list of priorities here just in the next few coming days, Elizabeth Rios?
Well, our priorities are to help in any way we can, assisting in communication to get these tenants housed somewhere safe. And at that point, we will, when they are housed, we will assess all the claims, because the damages that they're incurring, any expenses that they're incurring because they've been forced to leave the property because of a fault and a breach of their landlord, those are things that they can include in potential claims going forward. So what we're doing is assessing those things right now, trying to be support, trying to, you know, be a good community partner to help these tenants get a new place to live that's safe and habitable.
We want to thank Elizabeth Rios, the supervising attorney for Legal Services of South Central Michigan, and Dr. Joan Jackson Johnson, director of Lansing's Human Relations and Community Services Department. Thanks to both of you.
And thank you.
Thank you.